Indeed, it's another lovely Thursday evening, and it's time for the program Truth to Power. Truth to Power is a program that is dedicated to looking at issues in and around minority and persecuted indigenous groups in Nigeria. Those attacks are often not reported, but mainstream media in Nigeria would always want to shy away from it. But right here on Procyon Radio and Television, we don't shy away from our responsibility as we make it a priority to speak truth to power. Today on the program, we shall be giving you an update in respect of what's been happening since last week when we last met on the program. And also on the program today, we will also be connecting with two persons. One from Southern Kaduna, one of the hotbeds of these persecutions, and also from Jos, North Central Nigeria. And the two persons I will be connecting with will give us an update and, of course, give us a background and a history of these persecutions that have been happening and, of course, the state where we are as at this time that we speak. My name is Ehis Adon, but you can call me the Peacemaker. And the program is a regular feature every Thursday evenings right here on Procyon Radio and Television. And also we have a rerun of the program on Sundays evenings from 7 to 7:30. And on the program also we give you update in respect of the latest trending news and information on the Truth Nigeria website. All right, I already have one of my guests already linking up with me. I'd like to welcome Masara Kim to the program this evening. Masara Kim, how are you this evening?
Yeah, I'm doing well, and it's nice to see you again, Ahis, and the teeming audience, members of the audience out there. I apologize that I'm doing this call late. I have been at the hospital. I have an emergency case that required, attention. And as you can see from the background, I'm still here. I can't get home, at least just yet, to have a decent environment to have this call.
All right. Thank you so very much, Masara Kim. I know it's been a very, very hectic week for you, because I recall that in the last edition of the program, you did give us a security alert that there were impending attacks on that particular day. And sadly, the attack happened. So Edward John Alta is a youth leader from southern part of Kaduna. And on the program today, he will be giving us a historical perspective to the persecutions that's been happening in middle belt of Nigeria, with not just in southern Kaduna, where he is from, but generally middle belt of Nigeria, because first of all, he is a historian by training, apart from the other disciplines and experiences that he has gathered. Masara Kim, first, give us the latest update in respect of what's happening in Jos State. You say, I know there was a recent attack that's been happening in the past few days. Then after that, Edward John Alta will give us a historical perspective to persecutions in Middle Belt Nigeria. Masara Kim.
Well, thank you, Ahis, for bringing us back again. Since the last time we had this podcast, let me just be modest, close to 40 Christians have been murdered in terror raids and also military, I would say, assisted forms of attacks against minorities in the state of Plateau, particularly northern region. And of course, a lot of these incidences were foretold, like you said. They were forecasted. We knew they were going to happen, and we gave adequate information in advance as regards the plans of the terrorists and where they were even going to happen. In some instances, we even gave, you know, the timelines of the movements, the plans, and of course the possible executions, and you know, also naming the targets, you know. But of course nothing was done. Instead, what we had was a situation where the authorities stood by, or they rather stand by, because it's still ongoing, and watch as these villages are killed. Now, on the flip side, where you have communities making efforts locally to help themselves, having failed to garner, you know, to gain the support and the cooperation of the government and the military.
Oh, we lost Masara Kim. We lost him. We'll wait to join him back. But while we are trying to connect back to him, let me come to Edward John Auta now to give us a historical perspective to persecutions of minority groups in Nigeria. Edward John Auta, over to you.
All right, thank you once again for having me. The reality is that from a historical perspective, one can say that the persecution of minority groups who invariably are dominantly Christians in Nigeria can be traced back to as far as the colonial era. During that period, there was the disintegration and fusion of various autonomous political systems as at that time into larger ones for administrative convenience, owing to the British indirect rule system. I will give you a lot of instances.
Yeah.
In Southern Kaduna, for example, you could see that in the era of colonialism, my own ethnic group, which is a Baju ethnic nationality, was disintegrated and was, you know, ceded to three different traditional institutions. We had the northern, some part of the northern Baju that was under the Zazzau Emirate. We had another part that was under the Jama'a Emirate. And then we also had another part of the Baju area, the Angwarimi area, that was under the Nasarawa Yeskwa Division as at that time. One ethnic nationality that operated as a single entity under a republican system were, you know, divided, disintegrated into various, disintegrated into three different groups, and under three different cultures that had nothing in common with the Baju traditional system. So that was a clear case of marginalization. You could find, you know, that was the story in so many other areas, so many other ethnic nationalities. I know for sure, for example, that a lot of these ethnic groups were involved in series of activism for self-determination. I can tell you that most of the ethnic groups in Southern Kaduna, to be precise, as early as the 1913, they were involved in serious agitation for self-determination. I know that for those that have read the history books, hear about the rebellion of 19 of the area of Jama'a that was taken by the Baju people in 1913, and later by the combined effort of the Baju and Kaninkong people of Kafanchan, which even necessitated the relocation of the palace of the emir as at that time from Matiriga near Madakia to his present location in Kafachan. So I can tell you that the colonial masters, because of the indirect rule system that they introduced for ease of doing business or for ease of administration, instituted a system that emasculated ethnic minority groups because they were swallowed into larger systems like the Emirates and what have you. It is the foundation. Sometimes in 1933, I can also tell you between 1933 and 9, there were some leaders of the Southern Kaduna ethnic nationalities that were even arrested and incarcerated for refusing to pay allegiance to the, you know, some of the traditional institutions that where people were forcefully, you know, marched or fused into. And that agitation continued without success. Some of them, it took up to 1996 and the early 2000s in Kaduna State for them to gain freedom traditionally from some of the Emirates and chiefdoms under which they were forcefully put. So those were the foundations.
Okay, now let us look at in recent times, because we are really running out of time. In recent times, let's talk about the persecution of minority groups and Christian groups in the Middle Belt of Nigeria and Southern Kaduna inclusive.
Okay, I want to talk about this in two facets or in two main areas.
Okay.
Now, the first one is the political persecution. And by political persecution, I mean the deliberate policy of exclusion, of deprivation, you know, of marginalization of the minority tribes in Kaduna State and in some other states of the North. You see, people from certain areas or from certain religion are not allowed into certain positions of authority. In Kaduna State, since its inception, I can tell you, for example, no Christian from Southern Kaduna has ever risen through the ranks to become an accountant general of the state until when the first democratically elected Christian governor in Yakoa was elected in 2011. And since then, I think, the people of Kaduna State, of Southern Kaduna and Christians have not had a taste of that position, I think, until recently when Shiza from Jamaa also was also given. There are, even in terms of employment into the state civil service, in terms of admission into state-owned institutions in Kaduna State, you find out that there are people from certain areas, mostly Southern Kaduna or Christians, that are deprived, you know, of admission or those employment, no matter how qualified they are. Recently, if you watch a video that the former governor of Kaduna State was featured, you know, he was seen boasting of successfully imposing an Islamic system in Kaduna State, a system that excludes Christians from the top echelon of power in the state. And he came under serious fire across the nation. So politically, there has been, or there seems to be an agenda to marginalize and to exclude the people, minority tribes, particularly Christians, from the dividends of governance or of democracy. Even in terms of projects in Kaduna, if you see the wide disparity in terms of siting of projects between Christian areas and Muslim-dominated areas, you can see clearly that what the former governor, Malla Nasiru El-Rufai, is saying is true. And he was even saying that let that system be sustained for the next 20 years so that Christians will know where they belong in the state. So, and it is even worse in other core northern states of Nigeria. You know, Christians have become merely onlookers and they have been subjected into a second-class status in a state or in states that are supposed to be a collective from states and from treasury that is supposed to be the collective patrimony of every citizen of that state. Then the other aspect of marginalization is the recent genocidal attempts by the so-called Fulani herders, whom probably because of the desertification that is facing them either in Niger or Chad or Mali or in Sokoto and other core northern states, they have been moving en masse into the minority areas that have better climatic conditions and grassland for their pastoral purpose. So these Fulani people have been attempting seriously to see that they displace these people and forcefully take over their lands, which they have been facing a lot of resistance and which has also resulted in the mass killings of people almost on a daily basis, you know, in some of these areas. In Chukun local government in particular, in Zangon Katav local government, in Kaura, in Kagarko, and in Sanga, these incidences of genocidal attempts have been recorded and are being recorded almost on a daily basis. So to the extent that there are a lot of independent reports that have even said that Kaduna State and Southern Kaduna in particular, you know, is one of the worst places in the world for one to be a Christian. So it's been terrible. There has been serious humanitarian crisis in some of those places where these attacks are taking place. And in the last 8 years, there seems to be what one would call a collusion by the government of the state and that of the federal government, either by commission or omission. Because every day, these so-called herders move into these areas unchallenged, cause mayhem, kill scores of people, displace communities, and up to this day, there has never been any record of arrest, let alone successful prosecution. So one cannot help but to say that the government's lack of action, or in most cases, reactionary measures, have aided and abetted the activities of these herders in those areas.
All right. Thank you so much, John. I'll just hold on just 1 minute. Let me go back to Jos Plateau State and speak now with Masara Kim to continue with the update that he was giving us in respect of between last week when the security alert was announced. He actually gave us a security alert of impending attacks on that day. That was last Thursday, just 7 days ago. And indeed, it happened just the way he said it was going to happen and in the places that was marked out. So, Masara Kim, if you are with us, would want you to continue with the update and wrap it up with the present situation as we speak now.
Okay, so I'm sorry, I just kept being interrupted by phone calls. And incidentally, one of those phone calls has been coming from one of my sources in one of the most dreaded terrorist hideouts in the central region of Nigeria. Obviously, he has something to say, and I'm not sure it's going to be good news at all. That definitely would be another terror alert. I will feed you later on once I talk with him, because I just asked him to hold on while I finish this podcast. And then quickly, I'd like to respond to something Auta said. The claims of climate change have been the false narrative that deniers of genocide are selling out to shift attention from the genocide that is actually going on. What we know is that what is going on is a deliberate attempt to annihilate a particular group of people and replace them with a different demography. And we have seen that happening across Nigeria, particularly in the Christian dominated, you know, regions. You come to Plateau State in the last 10 years, we've had more than 200 communities grabbed and replaced. And then you go to Kaduna State. As of 2 years ago, we had at least 148. I think that number has doubled by now. You go to Benue, you have a lot more. And across Nigeria, by my last records, we have at least 1,000 communities have been grabbed. And these are not all lush green communities. Some of them are infertile as the worst desert that you can think of, you know, in the far north of the region, but they have taken it over. Why? Because that is a community that is comprised chiefly of the demographics that do not fit into the agenda that is being pursued. And that, in essence, is the Islamization agenda. If care is not taken, in a few years from now, what you will have is a caliphate in Nigeria by the pace they are going. And I don't think that we should be enforcing those lies that they are peddling and that are also being embraced and given publicity by world governments, particularly American government, you know, the American mission in Abuja, the US mission in Abuja has been, you know, a chief proponent of that, and I don't buy into it. So having said that, let me get back to what I was saying. In the last 1 week, we've had close to 40 people, just being modest, close to 40 people being murdered since the last terror alert was given on the 4th of this month. The latest occurred just yesterday, where soldiers opened fire on members of a volunteer watch group. You know, having failed after several attempts to get the government, the military to respond to distress calls and to protect them, many of them have decided to take up, the bull by the horn, to take the bull by the horn to face these AK-47, bearing terrorists using, you know, just single shot guns and also, hunting rifles. But what you had yesterday in the east of the Mangu County, which is about 42 miles southeast of Jos, yesterday was that the military moved into a community that has suffered, you know, these terror attacks several times and just opened fire on a group of, you know, these volunteer watchers, killing three. And incidentally, they paraded them, you know, their pictures and planted rifles, actual rifles on their chests, and took photographs and circulated them with a statement coming from the defense headquarters that these were the bandits, these were terrorists killing, you know, terrorizing communities in the Mangu County. And I have been so infuriated by that. And as a matter of coming up, you know, in just a short while, you know, countering that narrative. So this latest killing actually raises the death toll from the initial 35 that I had as of Sunday, you know, to more than 40, because there are others. Yesterday, actually, some two were buried somewhere in the northeast of Mangu while the military was, you know, attacking volunteer watchers in the southeast of that same county. Now, that's actually the disturbing situation. A similar incident occurred in a community 15 miles southwest of Jos called Farinlamba. If you are familiar with the Mararaba Jama'a area, going to the Kaduna Abuja direction, about probably 5 miles, you find a community called Farinlamba. A group of eight people, including an eight-month-old, was ambushed by people whom witnesses identified as, you know, soldiers, you know, who opened fire on them and killed all of them. And that attack happened happened on Sunday night, just hours after 14 people were killed in the Mangu County. You know, so these attacks are happening almost on a daily basis. And even though they appear to be piecemeal attacks or piecemeal murders, when you count the toll from 1, 2, 3 days, you see that you are heading toward defining and proving a genocide, because you find the same, you know, group of people being killed in their large numbers, only that they are not killed, you know, all one today, one tomorrow. When you add that number, and then it gives you hundreds, 200s. Actually, from May 16th, we have had that in Plateau State alone.
All right, Masarakin. You know,
with
we
more
should be
than two.
Rounding up now, Masarakin.
Yeah.
We should be rounding up now. Let me go to.
So the situation at the moment is one that calls for the support and the cooperation of people who are proponents, supporters of religious rights and human rights generally, to ensure that the remnants of Christians in this region are protected. And that could also include mounting pressure by foreign governments, world governments, on the Nigerian authorities to ensure that they protect minorities and ensure that the rights of every citizen is protected. And that includes the right of them to stay peacefully in their own homes, because more than 200,000 of them in the Mangu County alone have been displaced, and they can't go back to their home because the terrorists have taken over more than 50 of their villages.
All right, thank you so much, Master Rakim. I'll come to, I was just about to go to John Edward Alta, and we seem to have lost him. I will attempt to reconnect back to him now so that he would give us his parting shots on the program. Well, you are listening to Truth to Power, and it's coming to you on Procyon Radio and Television. Let's quickly also give you an update in respect of the Truth Nigeria website, where you can get details of all of this attack. On Truth Nigerian website, you can get the Nigerian security alert, and it is up to date and coming to you. And of course, from testimony that you've had on the program, there was a security alert given to us last week by Masarakim, and indeed it happened, and it's very, very sad. On the website of Truth Nigeria, you can read feature stories like, despite ongoing terror alerts, Nigerian authorities stand by as 35 Plateau residents are slain. Also, on the Truth Nigeria website, you can check different other stories that I'm sure will make you take that action and do what you need to do. We would also want to appreciate Equipping the Persecuted, mission making a lasting difference. All right, just go to the Truth Nigeria website, and how to get there is www.truthnigeria.com, and that way you'll be able to get more details of what is happening there and how you can be a part of it. Unfortunately, we cannot get John Alta back to give us his final thoughts on the program. Masarakim, I sincerely want to appreciate you this evening for making time out to be on the program, and what would be your final parting note and, of course, security advice to residents in these persecuted regions?
The first thing to do is to ensure that you keep a watch and you suspect practically everybody, especially those who do not, you know, seem, who are not members of, you know, the immediate community. And by suspecting, I mean that you should ensure that you give a thorough search and investigation, and ensure that those coming around you are not spies, and they are not, you know, colluding with terrorists to probably, you know, give you away. And to ensure also that you do everything humanly possible to stay away from, you know, dark spots, stay away from dark spots, and also stay away from, you know, open lights when it gets dark, especially when you are in your home. And also, very importantly, make sure that you do not run aimlessly when you hear a gunshot. Take cover and just be guided. Just stay calm, take cover, stay calm, and try to move away from the direction of the loudest blast. Because usually when a blast is facing you, when a gun is facing you, it tends to be louder. But when it's not facing you, its sound is always very different. and always also, if you have, if, as much as possible, just defend yourself. Do not allow yourself to be slaughtered like an animal.
All right, thank you so very much, Master Akim. Edward, John Atta is back now. Edward, John Atta, on a parting note, what will be your final word and your security call to those living or residing in these persecuted areas?
Well, my parting words would be that it is unfortunate, it is condemnable that people want humanity, but certain groups of people have to go through what they are going through because of their tribe, because of their religion, or because of their race. And it is important for government, particularly since we have a new government now, to rise up to this challenge of insecurity, to this challenge of injustice, and ensure that every citizen gets the best that he deserves from government, whether or not he's a Christian, whether or not he comes from the minority groups of Northern Nigeria or comes from Southern Kaduna. Number two is for people, eternal vigilance. Eternal vigilance is the price for freedom. I will call on the people from those areas to be very vigilant. Do not wait on government, be coordinated. You stand on the side of truth, even if it is with sticks, with stones, and machete, because you stand on the side of truth. Once you are coordinated and united, you can defeat this evil that is staring you in the face. And my advice to the international community is to intervene, especially in the areas of the humanitarian crisis. We have a lot of children that are being orphaned. We have a lot of women that are being widowed. We have a lot of men that are becoming handicapped. Some are having their hands chopped off, their legs cut off, and all of that. So the situation is really, really becoming precarious, and it is important for interventions to come from well-meaning Nigerians and from international community. Some of these donor agencies should ensure that what they are giving are taken to areas that are really devastated by crisis. Because one of the injustices too that have been happening is the fact that you see that some of these donor funds are spent in only certain areas of the country, especially the Northeast. Please come to the Middle Belt, come to Southern Kaduna and see what is happening, so that we do not create a generation of illiterates, a generation of criminals, and a potential workforce for criminal elements and what have you in some of
these areas. All right, we must have to go now. We are actually out of time. I want to sincerely thank you for having time to be on the program today. John Edward Atta is a youth leader from Southern Kaduna and is one that has been speaking and fighting for the rights of minority groups, not just in Kaduna State, but all over the Middle Belt and Nigeria. Thank you so very much, John Edward Atta. Hoping that next time we'll still have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. All right. And Master Akim is also a reporter, and he is in Jos, North Central Nigeria. I appreciate you all for having time to be on the program. Next week, at the same time, you'll be on for another edition of the program, Truth to Power. Between now and then, remember to check the Truth Nigeria website, which is www.truthnigeria.com, to get more information and stories in respect of persecution of minority groups in Nigeria. On Sunday, from 7 to 7:30, will be another time for a rerun of the program. Between now and then, like always, I would say, plant a tree today, water it, and watch it grow. May the good mighty Lord bless and keep us all.